It's time for another exciting edition of the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. Stay tuned as we discuss local and national sports from Southeast Missouri and beyond. And now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. And welcome to another exciting edition of the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And Kyle is not going to be joining us this week. He's had some other obligations, but he will be back next week. And he has already told us he is going to have a lot to say. So stay tuned, folks. And we are going to get started right here and now, starting to talk about the National Football League. Mark, we got some good games coming up this week. Take her away.
We've got some amazing games. We are right into the meat of playoff season. The most important month outside of the playoffs in the NFL is December, seeing who is in and who is out. We're not going to talk about the teams that are already out because they are irrelevant. What we are going to talk about are games with playoff implications. Plus,
first one is tonight.
Plus Tennessee.
Of course, can't forget my guys.
That's right. A Thursday night game tonight, actually worth watching. The 9-3 Green Bay Packers go to Detroit to take on the best team in the NFL, the Detroit Lions.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and we feel fine.
And I've got a hot take on this. The Packers are going to win this game.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, the Packers are going to win this game. Detroit is beat up on both sides of the ball, especially on defense. I think that Jordan Love is about as close to healthy as he has been all season, as much as I hate to say it. Green Bay has a lot of offensive weapons, and I think they squeak out a pretty high-scoring game, something like 37-35 or 35-30, something in those ranges. I think both teams are going to score 30 points, but I think Green Bay is going to edge them, which is fantastic news for Vikings fans.
Speaking of.
Yes, Vikings fans are in the rare position this week of rooting for our most hated rival, the Green Bay Packers. But in terms of giving the Vikings an opportunity to still win the NFC North, we absolutely need the Packers to win this game.
And I know those words have really got to hurt for you to say, Mark.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, it's all about who can be the most opportunistic. Now, before we talk about the games with playoff implications, Jacksonville will be traveling to Nashville to take on your favorite team, the Tennessee Titans.
In the toilet bowl.
Yes, absolutely. The important question to ask here, though, is this. Is Will Levis your quarterback of the future in Tennessee?
And you know what? He has actually played pretty good the last few weeks. I saved a link on Facebook I'm going to pull up real quick that's, you know, got some information that's worth sharing. Give me just a sec. I follow a Tennessee Titans poster named Wes Wisley. I believe that's how you say his name. And he said in a post from yesterday or the day before, I know Will Levis hasn't solidified anything yet when it comes to whether or not he can and will be the future for the Titans. But if you look at his last four games and then you take them out over a full season, his numbers aren't bad, because in his last four games, he's 71 for 115 passing, 960 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. If you take those numbers out over 17 games, that's over 4,000 yards through the air, 30 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. I haven't done the calculation on what his passer rating would be, but I think it would be pretty solid. So if Levis keeps playing like he's been playing the last, you know, four games, he may be worth building around.
You know, he's got mad arm talent. You know, I saw that when I was in Nashville watching the Vikings take on the Titans. Levis has all the arm talent in the world, but you don't get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft as a quarterback if you don't have arm talent. What it takes, in addition to the big arm, it takes accuracy, and it also takes a far above average intelligence to understand your playbook, to understand the reads that you have to make, the defense to go through your progressions. I mean, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota working with Sam Darnold this year has shown us what the difference is between a physically talented quarterback and a quarterback who's actually been trained to play that position at the professional level. And if Tennessee can bring in someone, a quarterback's coach, an offensive coordinator who's a kind of quarterback whisperer, the way that KOC is, and also Sean McVay, and clearly Sean Payton in Denver with Bo Nix, who nobody thought would be a success in the NFL. And right now he's looking like the front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
But if they can find that for Levis, I mean, you've still got him for three more years under that rookie contract, you know. So, I mean, and who else is available on the free agent market?
Pretty well, yeah. And, I mean, who's going to be available at the top of the draft? I mean, honestly, I think we need to put more pieces around Levis instead of trying to start over with another quarterback. I mean, we need help on the right side of the line. We need some help on defense. And I think we got a better chance of finding those options in the higher rounds of the draft than we do finding a quarterback. I mean, the left tackle that we took this past spring, J.C. Latham's actually having a pretty solid rookie year. So the left side of the line is starting to come together. We got to fix the right side of the line because it is dog awful.
Yeah. Well, the good news is you're going to have a top 10 draft pick in next spring's draft.
That's a pretty good possibility.
Moving on to my favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings, currently sitting at 10-2. They'll be hosting the Atlanta Falcons, and we all know who the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons is this year.
That's right.
Dun, dun, dun. Kirk Cousins comes back to U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. The 6-6 Atlanta Falcons holding on to that top spot in the NFC South by the skin of their teeth. And I'm going to go along with what most of the professional pundits are saying about this game, that Brian Flores is going to absolutely empty the playbook with everything but the kitchen sink, and probably the kitchen sink too, to throw at Kirk, to throw him off his game. He's not been playing well. The Falcons have not been playing well. I would really, and I think Vikings Nation would agree with me on this, we'd really like to see an easy win. We'd like to see, you know, at least a 2+ score margin of victory this Sunday.
You mean you guys actually might get an easy win?
Oh God, it's the Vikings. I certainly would not bet 50 cents on that. But again, we should. Darnold has been playing lights out, and again, it comes down to just to turnovers and silly mistakes. If we can limit those turnovers, especially those drive-killing turnovers in the first half, I think we ought to jump out to an early lead. And by the way, I just want to say a little bit about last week. That's a good Arizona team. That's a really potent defense. What you saw in the first half of that game was a defense that completely confused Darnold and O'Connell and their whole game plan. And you know, the Cardinals were giving the Vikings looks that they hadn't seen all year, that they hadn't seen on film. And if you're looking at the Vikings, you think, man, they were blowing teams out in the first 5 weeks, and now all these games are close. What's going on here? Game film. You know, nobody knew what Darnold could do. Nobody had seen Brian Flores' defense before in those first few weeks. Now you got almost an entire season, certainly about 70% of the season, on film to study that. You know, other teams have professional coaching staffs and professional players also. So, you know, even a really good team, even the best teams like Kansas City and Detroit, they're not blowing teams out of the water
exactly
every week. You know, when they're playing good teams, they're just barely squeaking by too.
Exactly. And another matchup with one team that has playoff hopes is the Philadelphia Eagles are hosting the hapless Carolina Kitty Cats.
Well, the Panthers and their quarterback Bryce Young have been playing better, but they really don't have much of a hope against Philadelphia on the road. Of course, Carolina did play really tough against Kansas City. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they can get a couple of early turnovers But I really don't see that Carolina defense having much of a chance against Philly's offense. Another team that is, how can we describe this? Sneaky bad? so bad they're sometimes good. That's Cleveland going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh sitting at 9-3 on top of the AFC North, and they have a little payback to exact on Cleveland for that Thursday night snow game that the Browns snuck away with.
And the Browns now have Jameis Winston, who threw for almost 500 yards and I think still ended up losing.
Yeah, it's amazing what a YOLO quarterback can do. I mean, this is a guy who professionally has absolutely nothing to lose, and he is just going out and chucking it down the field like it's a sandlot game. It's a lot of fun to watch, but it's not really conducive to a winning football team.
Agreed.
Up next on the schedule, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders, who are competing for the number one pick in the draft, going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa is also sitting at 6-6, but they lost both of their games against Atlanta, so they're technically in second place in the NFC South. They should handle Las Vegas fairly easy, but I mean, Vegas should have beat the Chiefs last week. You know, if it wasn't just for a blown snap at the end of that game, they're going to kick a winning field goal against the Chiefs. So Tampa should not take this team lightly. Tampa scares me, frankly, because chances are what's going to happen is that the Vikings will end up in the fifth seed behind Detroit and have to play that wild card weekend on the road. And I would really rather travel to Atlanta as opposed to Tampa. You know, I'd rather face Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield.
Agreed.
I'd like to see Las Vegas win that game, but I think Tampa's going to take it. And the thing of it is, if Tampa wins and the Vikings beat the Falcons, Tampa will own that top spot.
Oh wow!
So you know, wins and losses are not necessarily wins and losses when it comes to playoff position.
Agreed.
Also, speaking of playoff position, Seattle, leading in the NFC West, travels to the land of the sun. Arizona, sitting at 6-6, one game behind Seattle. It's actually two games because Seattle has already beaten the Cardinals once this year. We'll see if Seattle can go in and take care of business. That's another place I don't want to play on the road as a Vikings fan in the first week of the playoffs. I don't want to have to go to Seattle.
Yeah, I think we have some bad memories of the Vikings playing Seattle in the postseason, don't we, Mark?
I don't know what you're talking about. Blair Walsh!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we won't even mention Blair Walsh. God,
Vikings fans still wake up from nightmares. It's like, honey, what's wrong? What was Blair Walsh missed the kick. Oh, Lordy. Next, we've got the Buffalo Bills. Really impressed. I can't repeat a line that I heard about what Buffalo did to San Francisco. But let's just say they asserted their manhood over the 49ers in that Sunday night snow game up in Buffalo. The weather's going to be a little bit nicer inside at SoFi Stadium when they take on the 6-6 Rams. And if we're talking about playoffs, if the Vikings win and Seattle and Buffalo also win, then that clinches a playoff spot for the Vikings. So right on the cusp of being guaranteed a spot in the end of season dance. Chicago travels to San Francisco. San Francisco's still sitting at 5-7. They've lost McCaffrey for the rest of the season. They never really had him. Purdy is still playing hurt. But, you know, everyone is bunched up together in this NFC West, and I would not put it past San Francisco to run off four or five wins in a row and end up at the top. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm not going to say that it cannot happen. And we'll see what Chicago does with somebody other than the NFL's most incompetent head coach at the at the rails of the stagecoach.
Matt Eberflus, you're fired.
Oh, that was terrible. My big Sunday night prediction, and Chiefs Kingdom is going to hate me for this, but Kansas City despite sitting at 11-1 and already having beaten the Los Angeles Chargers on the road. The Chargers coming in at 8-4 are going to beat the Chiefs, and they're going to beat them by at least a touchdown.
You have insulted Taylor Swift. Shame on you.
Taylor, I'm sorry. Travis, I love you, man. You know, Kansas City, you know, they're the only team in Missouri, so they are my home team. I hope that Kansas City wins this game, but from what I have seen from Kansas City over the past 4 weeks, the Chargers are going to dominate this game, Mike. I really believe that they are. I hope I'm wrong. I'll be the first to say, you know what? The Chiefs have turned it around. They found that extra playoff gear. But, man, I don't know. This looks like a Chargers win all the way.
And you heard it here first, folks. By the way, quick aside, Nashville is closer to Southeast Missouri than Kansas City. The only difference is the Chiefs are a really good team and the Titans suck.
this is very true. Our Monday night game is Cincinnati at Dallas. And, you know, Cincinnati is a team that keeps getting talked about because they have a great quarterback. Joe Burrow's a great quarterback. The rest of the team is hot steaming garbage. Speaking of hot steaming garbage, Jerry Jones is still the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
Dungeon Master.
Yeah, so don't watch that game on Monday night unless you just want to watch two bad football teams playing badly against each other.
You know what's scary, though? The Dallas Cowboys have a really weak schedule coming up, and they could theoretically climb back into playoff contention.
No, we're not even going to talk about that because, and this is why, there are five teams in the NFL that the national sports media talk way too much about, regardless of their records, regardless of what's going on in the season. Those teams are Dallas, Green Bay, the New York Jets, who should be relegated to the Big Ten in college football.
No. They're not a Big Ten team. They're an American Athletic Conference team. Or they should be playing in the MAC or the Mountain West.
Yeah. San Francisco also gets way too much press. I understand why. They've been NFC champions two or three times in the past 5 years. And my fifth team that we need to stop talking so much are the Baltimore Ravens. I understand that the media loves Lamar Jackson, but let me tell you this. Lamar is an underachiever when it comes to winning in the playoffs. He's an underachiever.
Yes, he has a lot to prove when it comes to the big games. He can get them to the playoffs, but he has yet to prove that he can get them to the promised land.
Right. And, you know, they're not even in first place in their division right now. They're sitting a game and a half behind the Steelers, and the Steelers have already beaten them once this season. So, now, there's a right amount of attention given to the following teams. Detroit and Kansas City, they're the two. Detroit's the best team. Kansas City's near the top. They're not the best anymore. I also think, as much as I hate to say this, the Philadelphia Eagles are getting the right amount of attention. They're at 10-2. You know, they haven't lost a game in the past 2 months, so they're worth talking about. And I think Denver and Houston are also getting the right amount of attention. You know, Denver is pretty solid in the wild card race in the AFC right now. Bo Nix has been playing terrific. And Houston, even though they are not as good as they were last year, they are still in control of a really bad AFC South division.
But they did lose to the Titans, and I still have not figured out how that happened. That is a grave dishonor. Speaking of the Texans in the AFC South, we got to talk about that dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking hit that I can't think of his name, but the cornerback put on Trevor Lawrence, and he's now got a 3-game suspension.
Yeah, I think he should have been. I mean, I think he should have been suspended for the rest of the season for that hit. I don't think he should come back this year. I mean, that was clearly a targeting hit. Lawrence was in the act of sliding. That guy took two or three steps and then hit him in the head with his helmet. I mean, The fact of the matter is there's a lot of criticism about the rules and the refs in professional football, and a lot of people our age and older are like, well, it's not like it used to be where you could just knock somebody out. I've got two words for those people. Daryl Stingley
Yes.
You know, who was, you know, he was hit like that, and it broke his neck, and he spent the rest of his life paralyzed as a result of playing a game.
That's right.
And sooner or later, if we don't police these types of hits out of the game, not only is somebody going to be paralyzed again, but imagine if that had been Tua in Miami getting hit in the head like that. It might have killed him. Literally, it might have killed him. You know, and we already have Hamlin for Buffalo, you know, who two seasons ago was flatlined on the field with a coronary incident.
Yeah. If it had been, he could have easily died.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that hard hitting is part of the game, but dirty hits cannot be part of the game. And I think the NFL should send a much stronger message than just a 3-game suspension. I think they should send him home for the rest of the year.
Well, at least he's getting sent home for 3 games. That's a start.
That is a start, and I'm sure they're going to hit him in his bank account in a pretty serious way as well.
He may get sued too. Let's not forget that.
Well, that's going to be a lot harder. As far as my teams, who I don't think get enough attention, at least on a national scene, Minnesota completely disrespected as a 10-2 team. Mm-hmm. I know part of that is because, you know, Minnesota, you know, has trouble in the playoffs. Sam Darnold has never done anything before. People look back 2 years ago at the 13-4 season. You can go on to any YouTube channel and see all kinds of takes about how this year is very different from 2022. But Minnesota is not a fraud. Okay, they're a legit 10-2 team. They should at least get as much discussion as Philadelphia does in terms of who can compete with the Detroit Lions, because other than the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving, you know, the only team that almost one of the only teams who almost beat Detroit, of course they do have a week 2 loss, I believe it was to Tampa, but that was kind of a strange game. But I mean, Minnesota stood toe to toe with Detroit, and if they'd been able to convert a third down late in the fourth quarter, they would have won that game. You know, completely different season at this point. Not enough attention being given to Buffalo for the same reasons. Buffalo can't win the big game. They can't get past the Chiefs. Folks, they're getting past the Chiefs this season.
That very well could be, and I think you also have on your list of teams that are not getting enough love, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all of the attention goes to Baltimore, and no one wants to talk about Pittsburgh and the amazing job of coaching that Mike Tomlin continues to do year after year. We're not talking enough about the Los Angeles Chargers, how Jim Harbaugh has gone in and in less than a season has completely turned that franchise around.
That's pretty good coaching, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. They are a tough, physical, defensive team. Justin Herbert's playing great. And I'm not a Seattle fan. I was a Seattle fan when they were an expansion team in the AFC. But ever since they've moved over to the NFC, of course, they were rivals to the St. Louis Rams. And so I'm never really one to pull for the Seahawks. But, you know, I picked them to finish dead last in the West, and they're currently sitting on top here in Week 14. So let's give them some credit and give them a little bit more attention.
Agreed. And that's our thoughts on the National Football League before we start talking about a lot of college football. I want to talk a little bit about the start of high school basketball season and a little more about my beloved Three Rivers Raiders and Lady Raiders. Mark, you were at the Poplar Bluff Mules basketball game Friday night. They gutted out a season-opening win against the Caruthersville Tigers, and I'll let you give me some thoughts on that.
Well, they need to work on improving their shooting, just plain and simple. I don't know if it was first-game jitters or exactly what was going on, because to be fair, Caruthersville wasn't shooting any better as well. If either one of those teams had even shot 50%, the results would have been very different. If either team had shot 50%, it would have been a blowout. But I'm not talking about just missing outside shots, because they were. I'm talking about missing layups. You know, I'm talking about being under the basket and, you know, coming too hard off the glass or clanking it off the rim. And, you know, I think that Coach Will Durden realized this. I mean, he said as much when I spoke to him after the game. And, you know, I, I, I feel quite confident that he's communicating that to his players as they prepare to face off tomorrow night against Ledoux here in Poplar Bluff.
And that's going to be a pretty stern test. Ledoux was ranked at some point at parts of last season, and they look to be pretty good again this year. And, Mark, you're going to be at that game as well.
Yes, I am. Happy to shift from covering high school football to high school basketball. Different kind of game, different kind of experience, but just as fun to see these young people compete out on the hardwood. How are the Raiders doing? It's been an eventful weekend for the men's and women's teams.
The Raiders won last night to pick up their 10th win of the season, and they did not have the greatest game. I was not able to make that game because I was at the Gridiron Banquet downtown, but my colleague Robert Augsdorfer was there, and the Raiders found a way to win ugly. They won by 10 over a Shawnee team that is currently at 500. And, you know, Will Durden, I think, told you the other night, you know, the importance of getting those ugly wins, you know, being able to learn from those ugly wins. But one of the nice things about last night's win is with us getting our 10th win, we didn't get our 10th win last season until January 24th. And so for us to be that far ahead this year of where we were then is pretty nice. And also, too, the Lady Raiders were on the road last night at Vincennes, Indiana, and they shook off a slow start to get a pretty nice 26-point win against the Lady Blazers in their home gym. You know, I believe they're 9-2 on the year. So it's still looking like a great year to be a Raider or a Lady Raider. Both teams now are a combined 19-5. And, you know, like I said, both teams are going to be on the road Saturday at John A. Logan. The men are playing in St. Louis Sunday against Southwestern Illinois. But mark this on your calendar. A week from tomorrow night, on Friday the 13th, the Raiders men's team is hosting Jones College out of Mississippi. They are one of the top teams in the country. About a week and a half ago, they went to Florida and handed Gulf Coast State their first loss. That is Lane Belue's team. Of course, Lane is a former Raider and a former Advance Hornet. So you got to be pretty good to put a 14-point win on Lane and his crew.
Yeah, terrific. Well, I'm glad to hear that our Three Rivers teams are doing so well. College basketball, even at the junior college level, is really exciting. And, you know, 10 wins already in this season for the men's team. I think, you know, we can legitimately be thinking about how good can this team be and how far can they go this season.
I think this team could get all the way back to the national tournament, something we have not done in soon to be 13 years.
And that would be quite an accomplishment for Coach Robert Kirby in his inaugural season.
Yes, we also have 10 freshmen on and just 5 sophomores. One of those is a transfer in. So, yeah, it would be. I mean, and it's something that this fan base has been longing for because, I mean, we have struggled a lot the last 7 seasons before this one. We only had 2 winning seasons in that stretch. We were 14-18 last year. And this fan base is hungry for wins. And this team is starting to deliver on that promise.
Yeah, yeah. It's very exciting, fun time to be a Raider.
Yes, it is. Speaking of college football.
Yeah, let's talk about Mizzou and the upcoming college football playoffs. It was a fun win in the snow over Arkansas. I think the snow made that game a lot closer, certainly, than I expected. You got to give Arkansas credit. I mean, their quarterback made some amazing throws under duress, throws that really he should not have made. And he was hitting receivers down the field. And it's like, if I wasn't rooting against them, I would have been even more impressed. But fittingly, Brady Cook ends his career at Mizzou with a 30-yard touchdown run to win the game and then a fantastic pass on a trick play for the 2-point conversion to put them up by a touchdown at the end of the game.
All right, Brady Cook.
Yeah. So let's see where Mizzou is going to end up in terms of one of the consolation exhibition bowl games. I've compiled the various predictions from both Columbia and national outlets, and this is the buffet of possibilities in front of us. The Gator Bowl in Jacksonville against possibly Syracuse or Louisville or Miami. Miami would be a tough matchup for the Tigers. The Las Vegas Bowl against either USC or Colorado. It would be so much fun to beat Coach Prime.
And the Colorado Buffaloes. I mean, if you're a Mizzou fan, all we have to say is fifth down.
So much trauma. So much trauma.
Fifth down.
Some other possibilities. The ReliaQuest Bowl that takes place down in Tampa, possibly against Iowa. And then the Music City Bowl in Nashville against either Michigan or Illinois. And I think if, you know, pick one of those, I would really like to see Las Vegas Bowl against either Southern Cal or Colorado. I think those would be exciting games. If you're talking about something that local folks could travel to, Music City Bowl in Nashville, especially against Illinois, I think would be a terrific rivalry matchup.
Bragging rights.
Yeah, absolutely. We were going to talk about the college football playoff and the rankings, but with Kyle out today, I think what I'm going to do is put a paper clip right beside this and bring these rants back when we've got Kyle, because Kyle is a big fan of college football. He watches a lot. He knows a lot, and I really want to get his input on this. But suffice to say, as a teaser before next week's episode, we are not happy about a 3-loss Alabama team being included in these playoffs. And frankly, outside of the Roll Tide crowd, neither is anyone else. So we're going to talk about that next week. So tune in then.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, of course, tomorrow night and Saturday are championship days for the conferences. We will have those pairings out, I believe, on Sunday. And then, of course, looking ahead next Saturday, we have one of my favorite college football games of the year, the Army-Navy game.
Oh, fun. I think Army's had a terrific season. I think they should be favored in that game.
It's going to be fun to watch. And one reason that game has meant a lot to me, for a couple of reasons. One, both my granddads, my dad, and my brother have all served in the Army, so every year I'm saying, go Army beat Navy. But the other reason I have an appreciation of the Army-Navy game is because I grew up watching Magnum P.I., and Thomas Magnum had a big tradition of watching the Army-Navy game every year, or at least trying to watch it, because he played quarterback for Navy back in the mid-60s, and if he had really done that in real life, he would have been playing for Bill Belichick's dad. How wild is that?
Yeah, you know, everyone except Gen X listening to this podcast has no idea what you were talking about.
And that is really sad, because you really need to have an appreciation of Thomas Magnum. Thomas Magnum is who I wanted to be when I was a kid.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, Thomas Magnum left Hawaii and moved to New York City, where he had a brief dalliance with Monica Geller in New York City. And then after that, he became the police commissioner of the NYPD.
Which is what he's still doing. And his son is Donnie Wahlberg from New Kids on the Block.
All kinds of Gen X pop culture references. And for some of you elder millennials there, too. We love our audience.
Yes, we do. Oh, wow. This has been a good show. It's been a little shorter than last week. But you know what? It's getting ready to get exciting again in sports. We've got a lot of high school basketball coming up soon. We have holiday tournaments only a couple of weeks away. The Bloomfield Christmas tournament is going to be seeding soon. The Lady Royals Christmas Classic is seeding a week from tomorrow. And the SEMO Conference Boys Basketball Tournament is next week over at Sykeston. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up. We are hoping to have some really cool guests on the show coming up. But before I go any farther, I want to tell you that the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle is proudly presented by Royal Retros. They make the throwback jerseys that I love to wear and that some would even say I'm obsessed with. And if you order from them and use the code SPORTSDESK, you can get 10% or 15%, let me double check, off your order. So please do that, because they look cool and it's a way of telling us thank you.
Well, thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Sports Desk. We'll be back next week with NFL playoff pictures, college football championship nonsense, a Mizzou bowl game, high school and college basketball, and all kinds of fun surprises for you. So thanks again for joining us, and tune in again next week to the Sports Desk. I'm Mark Sanders.
And I'm Mike Bueller, and you have been listening to the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.